supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
There is a potential to see a new constellation overhead this summer. Let's get details on Sky Talk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, this one is decidedly different than the normal summer constellation.
Decidedly different is right. First of all, it's artificial. This is a constellation that's actually composed of communication satellites. And satellite groups are not all that unusual, actually. There are certain kinds of satellites that operate in pairs or triplets or even quadruple sets. But in this particular instance, we're talking about probably the largest set of satellites that have ever been assigned to work together for communications. This is a system known as Starlink, and Starlink's intended use is to provide worldwide, low-cost, easily accessible internet connection for everyone in the world. But the system that will enable this is comprised of 12,000 satellites. The Starlink project is one created by Elon Musk, the guy who runs SpaceX, in an attempt to provide equitable satellite internet access anywhere in the world for as low a cost possible.
Are these the size of small drone planes, or think more like a NASA Apollo craft?
Well, I think you could think about, you could probably imagine them to be more like the size of a large refrigerator. They're about 500 pounds each. They have one solar panel, and they are due to spread themselves around the sky in orbit around Earth so that there's this entire planet-wide coverage. And the first launch of this group of satellites, done just last week, put up a group of 60 of these satellites all in one go. And right now, this is being known as a satellite train, because you actually can go out and watch the whole group of satellites as they pass overhead, although they're not very bright. They're not as bright as other satellites, say International Space Station, which is easy to see without any optical aid at all. These are slightly dimmer, much like bright stars, not the brightest stars, but for the next week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer than that, you should be able to see this group all grouped together in this line as they make their way to their higher orbits.
We've spoken in the past about increasing amounts of space junk. Does this significantly add to that?
I'm so sorry to say it's a small fraction of what has been sent aloft. There are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of objects in orbit, depending upon how you measure them. For the largest objects, there are many fewer of those, a few thousand. But as you get into smaller and smaller pieces, it certainly gets into the tens of thousands of radar trackable objects. Adding 12,000 to that certainly does increase the number. It also increases the risk of what could happen if a number of satellites collide with each other, not necessarily this group of satellites, but any of the satellites in orbit, creating even more debris with the same energy that would be able to destroy even more satellites. We're nowhere near that yet, but the possibility exists that if we get too many satellites in orbit, this could turn out to be a likely outcome.
But for now, it's still pretty safe for spacewalkers leaving International Space Station.
Yes, but right now, there's, as you say, there's no need for spacewalking astronauts to be concerned. In fact, earlier this week, two Russian astronauts were doing a six-hour EVA outside of International Space Station. They were attaching handrails to the Russian segment of International Space Station, retrieving a set of experiments from the Poisk module's hull, and completing a number of other exterior maintenance tasks that needed to be done. But they were also outside celebrating the birthday of the very first person to take a spacewalk, an EVA. This was Alexei Leonov, who on March 18, 1965, stepped outside his spacecraft and for 12 minutes floated around as the first person to ever be out in space in just a spacesuit. That was followed by the first American EVA, done by Ed White, just 3 months later. That anniversary, 54 years, comes up next week on June 3, 1965. His spacewalk was more than twice as long as Leonov's. His was 23 minutes long. Leonos was only 12 minutes long.
Say, Derek, what's this about stellar life after death, or at least after life support?
It's a Frankenstein story about stars in space. Yes, bringing something back to life. Is that a crazy concept for astronomy? Well, you might think it would be a nutty concept because, as we know, once stars go nova, supernova, blow up, die out, there's really no way to bring them back because they've blown away all of their fuel and all of their mass that would allow them to generate the temperatures and pressures to start themselves. However, a group of astronomers working from the University of Bonn in Germany have been able to identify a phenomenon in which they've observed a star whose characteristics indicate that at one time it might have actually been two white dwarf stars. Now, white dwarf stars are stars that have reached a point in their life where they're just about dead. They're simply cooling down until they become dark, cold embers in space. But before they've gotten that far, these two stars managed to collide in such a way that their masses allowed the generation of enough heat that they could begin fusing heavy elements again, and so they're back in the business of being a star. They aren't radiating much light, but they're generating 45,000 times the amount of infrared or heat energy that our star is radiating, and it's blasting a solar wind of particles out into space at some 35 million miles per hour, so it is indeed an active star. Something unknown they didn't realize could happen before is now showing itself to be yet another phenomenon that the universe can produce.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.